because if you think you're laying there, but if you live for God, he'll give you eternal life. It's a gift. Now, it's a gift because of what we said in our earlier study, in the third chapter. It does God without belief. It doesn't take away the necessity for our submission and all of that, but it just says that when you've done all that you said I've done now, it's a gift of God. Alright, now you say, well, I'm through with that now. We'll go on to something else. You said something. No, sir, I don't think he's through with it. Now, when we get into the seventh chapter, I believe you find that he's not through with that at all. I think he's still talking about the same thing, and I try to blow it out down here. No, you're not, Daddy. So I speak to them that know the law. How that the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth? Well, the woman is out to help him. It's bound by the law. Now, this is the marriage obligation. This is the binding. This is the law and the consideration. Bound by the law of marriage. The woman who got the husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. You see the point? That's the law talking about. We have to say that you take on obligation. When you're married, you take on obligation. It is a lifetime obligation. And you agree in this marriage to make this a lifetime service or obligation to one another. And he said, as long as he lives, while he's bound, as he lives, he's bound with the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. Well, now, that's just this. This is the basic fundamental law of marriage. It's the one that Jesus said it was not so from the beginning when he was talking over in Matthew 19. He's simply using it as an example here. It's just an example only. So, it's the principle is true. Maybe if my husband lives, she'd be married to another man, she should be called an adultery. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. This obligation that she has tied her into, she is free from that obligation. She is free from that law. So that she is no doubt that they should be married to another man. Now, he's going to make a point out of that, but sometimes I think that we sort of shortcut the point that he makes out of it. Let's look at it carefully. Wherefore. Now, that wherefore is simply saying I'm going to make a point out of that. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. I don't know who died. You die. Okay? Well, when he says the law dies, he says, you die. You also become dead. Now, you die. If you die with the law, then you say, all right, that means that we're not under law anymore, right? That's true. That's true. And I'm not arguing that we're under the law of Moses or anything like that. But the point that I'm making you is, I think that he's still talking about the same thing he was talking about back then in the sixth chapter. I don't think he's changed the subject. He wasn't sitting there going all through here and started talking about the law of Moses versus the new covenant. He wasn't doing that. He's still talking about the importance. In fact, as you keep on in the building, the seventh chapter, you know, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but in the flesh I serve the law of sin, and therefore, old wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death, and Jesus Christ, see? That's what he's still talking about. He's still on the same subject. So he says, you, the old man, that wherefore, my brethren, you, the old man of the flesh, also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you, the new man of the Spirit, that's really what he said. The way you once lived, your old man died. When you turned your back on him, when you came to Christ, you were free then to take up a brand new way of life. just like that lady when her husband died. And this makes it kind of a reverse thing, you see. That's what makes it difficult. It's a kind of a reverse point. You would think maybe that you'd have the woman dying and the man doing it. Yeah, you would. You'd think you'd have the woman dying and the man doing it. But it's kind of makes a reverse point on it. But in my estimation, it is far easier understood to see it as the old man, the old person, that died. And that in the old person dying, that it may be possible for you then to be married to the new person. So you see, when you're talking about your old man dying, you're not talking about physical death in the sense that you can finish dying or buried and put away. You're not talking about that at all. This is the point about being a child of God. When we are born of God and become a child of God, that's a figurative expression. And it differs from literal birth. In a literal birth, the individual has no choice in the matter whatsoever. I didn't choose to be born. I didn't even know anything about it. But in a spiritual birth, I have thought. It's up to me. In a literal birth, the child is independent of the parent. That is, the child is born, and the parents can die, but the child is a separate individual. And its life is independent of the parent's life. But in the spiritual life, there would be no spiritual life if Christ didn't live. There'd be no spiritual life if there were no God. The penalty of the spiritual life is irrevocably united to the individual. And so on it goes. Are there other points to be made along that life? But these are two different things. You don't really change. In the physical birth, in the physical birth, a brand new individual comes into being. Body and soul. A brand new individual. That's not so in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you get to kill one way that you used to live, and you take up another way that you're going to live. The spiritual life is a change of goals and aspirations and motives within an individual. It's not a brand new person in every way. If I like fruit before I was baptized, I like fruit after I was baptized. If I like alcohol before I'm baptized, I like alcohol after I'm baptized. I have a nice day. I like control. Do the thing. That's what I'm doing.
All right, so if you can get that picture in your mind, then you can understand how a part of you can die and you can go on, and then a part of you can live and go on. See, it's the old man dies, and he's about the old man, and having turned your back on the old man dies, then he's kind of using the marriage spirit to say, all right, now you're free to be married to anything. To me, which incidentally says that if you don't feel an old person, you've got no right to marry a child. And you get the point, baby? Here's a brother who doesn't really know him. He's just going around living with the old man. And he's trying to live the same food. What is that? Spiritual about it. Spiritual about it. He says, I married the child. Of course, I married the whole life over there. Well, that's spiritual about it. Well, this is what he married. That's right. That old life's got to be set off. And he called it down. That's right. And so it's the old man that died. Whatever my brother knew, the old man of the church, as he becomes dead to the law by the body of Christ, dead to the law, simply ties up to the gospel through only grace and mercy with this so straight. So that's the point. The only grace and mercy is that this so straight. You can't get it by yourself. By that I mean, you couldn't get rid of that old, the old gift. You couldn't get rid of the gift at all. If you can change the whole thing, man. But you, that is, the new man of the Spirit, could be married to another, see that. Even to him who raised from the dead, that's God. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's the same point that's made back in the 5th chapter when he said, Christ is resurrected and liveth unto God, therefore we must live unto God. That's exactly the same point. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. It's not a bit of difference in those things. Living unto God, bringing forth fruit unto God, that's the same thing. For when we were in the flesh, now watch this, before we died, before our old man died, when we were in the flesh, before the old man died, the notions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto God. But now that we have died, see, but now that we're dead, we are delivered from the law. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the flesh. Well, I think that is a marvelous text. And I believe that part of the 7th chapter could be read right on in connection with the 6th chapter. I think that they act together. Right on together.
Therefore, it should be a law. But then, the law tells her that and says, hey, mister, that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. But what's the point about the law?
Love and power, what is it say?
That's it. And that's exactly what he says. Now, you have to keep that in mind. Because, didn't I give you a whole string of passages on that the other day? Yes, I did. I gave you a whole string. That all of these passages show that the law simply made the sin the more fun. Now he says, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. Now how could sin, listen to it, Adam, sin taking occasion by the commandment? The thing that was, you know, I put it like this. This man is lustful. Then the law, not from the law. Now he's already been lustful by sin. But now the law spells it out for
him.
Now when he's lustful by sin, that sin without law. He now expressed that faith down in the back of the first and second chapters. He was giving him his identity of law. His line was contrary to what God wants, but it hadn't been spelled out. So now he says that the sin, now this is the sin. Now I understand if you can say it's not sin without law, I understand, but that is. But the act of evil there, the whole story, the evil there. Now this thing, taking occasion, but sin taking occasion by the commandment, led in me all manner of concupiscence. For I was alive, but without the law, sin was dead. In other words, it wasn't pointed out. It didn't spring into being. It didn't rise up there. So I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So it took a poison of the law. And I think here's the point, that the law of sin, or what? So that the same law that carried up and made my sin a sin condemned me.
Well,
I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin was I. What sin was I? Well, the sin that I knew was another. Oh, that's a lot of that. There's two reasons to the truth that we're not talking about sin coming back. Robertson and Alex Gingrich both give information. Later on, when he was on fire on another occasion, God
they got up the side of the new college. They said, well, you left and so on, and you could ride and do a such thing. But I went in to eat some 12 days, but I didn't do any trouble. Unless it was, and then he mentioned that one time. Yeah. He found himself as a human being, and as a person in need of mercy. And you won't really understand this passage here unless you see it as a statement from somebody that recognizes himself as a human being and in need of forgiveness and mercy. You got to make Paul a person of the perfect medicine and need of using the rest. You don't miss this point about it all the time. You don't go and fix yourself that way. So I see no reason at all not to say that this is Paul talking about himself.
That is part of it.
not only you don't have to answer questions, but we want you to overcome mankind.